Good morning, 12th Street. Let's stand together. We're going to open with Victory in Jesus. I heard an old, old story, how a Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood's atoning. Then I repented of my sins and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. I heard about his healing, of his cleansing power revealing, how he made the lame walk again and cause the blind to see. And then I cried, dear Jesus, come and heal my broken spirit. And somehow Jesus came and brought to me the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. I heard about a mansion he has built for me. I heard about the streets of gold beyond the crystal sea, about the angels singing and the old redemption story. And some sweet day I'll sing up there the song of victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. Bought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love. Plunge me to victory beneath the cleansing blood.
All right, you can be seated. Good morning, 12th Street, period. How are you doing today? If you are a visitor, first time here, you haven't ever received a visitor's packet, would you raise your hand? We'll get you some information on our church. We welcome you to be here this morning. Hadley, do you need one of those? I seen your hand. All right. Good morning, guys. We're glad you're here. Pastor's en route traveling back to Michigan with his family. They had a good time. You know what? Spring break was a good time for most of you. I see that you went to the beach. It rained a little. It snowed a little. It did a little of everything. Why do we have spring break? Because it's the last quarter before you go to finish the school for the year. Okay. And if you get a break with your family, go and encourage your family to grow. You sometimes you're so busy you don't have any time to stop and think and be thankful and love on your family. So go and do that. I know the Pennings went to Chicago this week just for a day. You know, if it's just sitting around the evening dinner table and encouraging one another, that's what we want you to do. But now it's the last haul. It's the last group of months before the children graduate or get out of school for summer, and then the big vacation starts. So you've had your break, you've had your reprieve. Couple of announcements. And please, I'm not going to announce them all, so remember to read your bulletin because there's valuable information. This church is a busy church, and we don't have time to stand up here and announce everything that we're going to have going. But the Murder Mystery Dinner is a big event that the youth group puts on every year, and it's a dinner and entertainment, okay? And it's fun. And if you want a ticket, they're going to be out here at the Welcome Center. That activity is April 22nd at 6 p.m. Next week is the very last day you can buy tickets for that event. So don't wait to the last minute, and you won't be able to purchase tickets at the door. The next event is the Easter Egg Hunt, April 15th at 3 o'clock. If you have young ones that want to come and participate, we have 10,000 eggs that have been stuffed that we're going to put out on the lawn for your kids to come and pick up. So we want you to be a part of that. Easter Cantata, April 15th at 5 o'clock, April 16th at 11 o'clock. There is a Sunday school teacher meeting immediately after church this morning down here in the front. So if you are a Sunday school teacher, please be a part of that group of activities so we can get you some information and plug you in on what's going on. The LAC ladies are going to Holland on May 10th. They leave at 9 a.m. in the morning, and this is opened up to guys and gals. So if you want to come, it's a Wednesday. If you've got the opportunity to go, come ride with us over to Holland. Have a good day, good time. We're going to come back. I think we're leaving at 3 to have lunch, and then we'll be back after that. Last event, May 6th is a work day here at the church. We are replacing the front wall of the church, okay? We don't know exactly what time we're going to get started, but I want everybody to be all hands on deck because the back wall was replaced what we thought was in 2 days. We got what? He's got a time? 9 o'clock. Okay, thank you, Mr. Eric. We replaced the back wall, what was thought to be 2 days' work. We replaced it one evening, about 5 hours. So we wanted to be able to do the same thing with the front. Those are the announcements that I have right now. I want to encourage you to listen to the word this morning. Bob Tissot has been here before. He has stood in this pulpit and preached to you before. He has filled in when we didn't have a pastor. And he's a great guy. They run Bear Lake Bible Camp down in Jones. We're trying to work on getting our middle schoolers to come to your middle school event while our life changers are in Detroit, both at the same time. So we are working with Bear Lake. The youth have been down there. They love their atmosphere and facilities, and they do a great job. So you'll be blessed by hearing Bob. When I get through praying, I'm going to give you a homework assignment. When you go to shake someone's hand, I want you to tell them just quickly what your hobby is, okay? Yeah, you shake everybody's hand every week, but I want you to learn a little bit deeper. I want you to go a little bit deeper. So today you're going to ask somebody that you shake hands with what their hobby is, and you're going to tell them what yours is. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Father, you have brought us here at this point in time to be found in your house. And Father, we thank you for the opportunity you gave us last week to spend time with our families, to be encouragers to them. Father, maybe we went out and did things with our neighbors or went out and did things in the community. Father, we know that you were about that business. Father, we love you and thank you for your hand being on 12th Street Baptist Church. We thank you for bringing us to this point where we can open our hearts and minds to hear the word that you have prepared for us from Bob Tissot. Father, thank you for the blessings that you share with us. Be with those that are still traveling. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, go tell somebody your hobby.
I play the bass.
All right, as you're making your way back to your seats this morning, remain standing. We're going to sing Blessed Be Your Name. Blessed be your name in the land that is plentiful, where your streams of abundance flow. Blessed be your name. blessed be your name. When I'm found in the desert place, though I walk through the wilderness, blessed be your name. Every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name, Jesus. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. Blessed be your name. When the sun's shining down on me, when the world's all as it should be, blessed be your name. Blessed be your name. On the road marked with suffering, though there's pain in the offering, blessed be your name. Every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name, Jesus. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. You give and take away. You give and take away. My heart will choose to say, Lord, blessed be your name. You give and take away. You give and take away. My heart will choose to say, Lord, blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name, Jesus. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. How lovely is your dwelling. O Lord Almighty, for my soul longs and even faints for you. For here my heart is satisfied within your presence. I sing beneath the shadow of your wings. Better is one day in your courts. Better is one day in your house. Better is one day in your courts than thousands elsewhere. Better is one day in your courts. Better is one day in your house. Better is one day in your courts than thousands elsewhere. And thousands elsewhere. One thing I ask and I would seek, to see your beauty, to find you in the place your glory dwells. One thing I ask and I would see, to see your beauty, to find you in the place your glory dwells. your courts. Better is one day in your house. Better is one day in your courts than thousands elsewhere. Better is one day in your courts. Better is one day in your house. Better is one day in your courts than thousands elsewhere. My heart and flesh cry out for you, the living God. Your spirit's water to my soul. I've tasted and I've seen. Come once again to me. I will draw near to you. I will draw near to you. To you. Better is one day in your courts. Better is one day in your house. Better is one day in your courts than thousands elsewhere. Better is one day in your courts. Better is one day in your house. Better is one day in your courts than thousands elsewhere. Than thousands elsewhere. Than thousands elsewhere. Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul. Worship his holy name. Sing like never before, O my soul. I'll worship your holy name. The sun comes up, it's a new day dawning. It's time to sing your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing when the evening comes. Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul. Worship his holy name. Sing like never before, O my soul. I'll worship your holy name. In love, and you're slow to anger. Your name is great, and your heart is kind. For all your goodness, I will keep on singing. 10,000 reasons for my heart to find. Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul. Worship his holy name. Sing like never before, O my soul. I'll worship your holy name. When my strength is failing, the end draws near and my time has come, still my soul will sing your praise unending. 10,000 years and then forevermore, forevermore. Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul. Worship His holy name. Sing like never before. Your holy name, Lord, I will worship your holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul. I'll worship your holy name. I'll worship your holy name. Lord, I will worship your holy name.
May the ushers come forward.
Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, I come before you this morning just thanking you for the way that you bless us. You said, come boldly, and I do. And I just want to thank you, and I want to thank you for this offering that we are about to take. Just bless the gift and bless the giver. In your precious name I pray. Amen.
think I hit the right button. Am I on? Yes. Whew, when you get to be my age, anytime you're on is a good thing. It is really good. Just want to say thank you for the chance to be with you today. And as soon as I say that, there's probably 90% of you that are looking out there saying, quite frankly, Bob, we had no choice in the matter at all anyway, so you're just, we're stuck with you. That's it. And so I just want to stop for a second as we go through. I come and I listen to us sing. I'm not a singer. I sing to the Lord, and he has a final filter, and it sounds good to him. The people sitting next to me just kind of shrug. You know, and you look, but as we sang and the 10,000 reasons. Yesterday was the fourth anniversary of a young man. I performed his wedding ceremony, performed the renewal of their vows, and performed his funeral service. 27 years old. A young man who loved the Lord immensely, unbelievably talented. When he was diagnosed with the cancer, he traveled the world, traveled the United States. He was an ex-athlete, spoke to college football teams, spoke at all kinds of things, all kinds of events. And at his funeral, one of the songs that he had chosen that he wanted sung was 10,000 Reasons. And his father is one of my very, very closest friends in Christian Camping. And he sat right there. Steve sat right there during the funeral. And as they sang the 10,000 Reasons, sang the song in the verse, the third verse, it goes, "And when my strength is failing, when my time has come, still my soul will sing your praise unending. 10,000 years and then forever more." And as I walk through life, and I'll be 66 in a couple weeks, and thank you, I look well preserved. And my mother and my dad are still alive at 91 and 88. Matter of fact, I'm headed there when I'm done here. And as I look, one of their very closest friends passed away this week. And I drove the 2.5 hours with Mom to the visitation. And we talked about life. And when my strength is failing, my time coming to the end, still my soul will sing his praise unending. 10,000 years and then forevermore. Do we understand how blessed we are? To be able to celebrate, this is the week. Now, next Sunday is kind of the Sunday, Easter Sunday, when we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But this is the week leading up to that. And as I speak with you today for the few minutes that I have, what happened? What happened? On Palm Sunday, they were laying palm branches in front of him and saying, "Holy, holy, holy, you are the king." Wore my purple shirt today, kingship. The king is coming. And on Sunday, they're laying him down in front of him and declaring him the king. And 5 days later, he's hanging on a cross. And many of those people that laid him down, now I understand they, you had the scribes, the Pharisees, you had the religious people, you had the rulers and all those that were there. But on the Friday, they're yelling, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" And on the Sunday before, declaring him King of Kings. What happened? And as I look, because I'm one of those people, by the grace of Almighty God, I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and my Savior. Changed my life. I didn't fully understand it when I was 7 years old. That's a long time ago. And I will tell you this, that life in Jesus Christ is full. And as we celebrate this week, will we throughout this week lay down the palm branches and say, King of Kings, Lord of Lords? I always think, you know, I've been one of those people, man. I've been there, you know, whoo, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. I've been looking good. I've been saying all the good God stuff. And then the challenge came to me, Bob, would you have been one of those people laying down the palm branches on Sunday? And by the end of the week, saying, crucify him, crucify him. And as Christians, we all say, oh no, that would not be me. But I want to challenge us in this week that we celebrate. I want to challenge us to be the celebrators who lift up the name of Jesus Christ. Because the story I'm going to talk about a little bit today is a story of one of his very, very, very best followers. I hope you all know a guy named Peter. Wouldn't you put Peter in the Hall of Fame? Wouldn't you say, wow, one of his most dedicated followers? And yet we know the story, and we're going to take a look at it a little bit, is that in everything that happens, Peter ends up being the guy who says, I don't know him. And if it can happen to Peter, I need to understand I'm vulnerable. Because I want to spend my life lifting up the name of Jesus Christ. King of Kings, Lord of Lords, he is my Savior. And as we go after this and we take a look, the challenge, and I don't know the condition of everybody here, your spiritual condition. If you've never met Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, my prayer is that today the Lord will open your eyes and say, whoa, I'm a sinner. I need salvation. It exists through Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ only. But if you take a look, you say, I always want, if when you leave here, say, well, what did Bob talk about? I'll talk about all kinds of things. But I want you to know that Bob Tissot is in love with God's word. It is the power of life. And I want to make sure that before I go, that it has been opened, it has been read, it has been prayed over. And if you leave with God's word, that is better than leaving with Bob Tissot. My prayer is, and prayer has been, Lord, that something I would say, but power of the Holy Spirit would encourage people, challenge people, go after it. But the power is in God's word. And so as we take a look, we're going to go to Matthew. I apologize to you. I had cataract surgery on Wednesday. I'm trying to figure out if I'm better with my glasses on or off right now. You know, and it's like, okay, well, I can't quite see that, but okay, anyway, here we go. Matthew chapter 26. I'm going to start with verse 31. Then Jesus said to them, all of you will be made to stumble because of me this night. For it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I have been raised, I will go before you to Galilee. Peter answered and said to him, Even if all are made to stumble because of you, I will never be made to stumble. Jesus said to him, assuredly I say to you that this night, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. And Peter said to him, even if I have to die with you, I will not deny you. And so said all the other disciples. Turn over in Luke. And you turn over to Luke chapter 22. We're going to look at verse 54. Luke 22, verse 54. And having arrested him, they brought him into the high priest's house. But Peter followed at a distance. Now when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the courtyard and sat down together, Peter sat among them. And a certain servant girl, seeing him as he sat by the fire, looked intently at him and said, this man was also with him. But he denied him, saying, woman, I do not know him. And after a little while, another saw him and said, you also are of them. Peter said, man, I am not. Then after an hour had passed, another confidently affirmed him, saying, surely this fellow was also with him, for he is a Galilean. But Peter said, man, I do not know what you are saying. Immediately, while he was speaking, the rooster crowed. Please listen to this verse. And the Lord turned and looked at Peter. Then Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said to him, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. So Peter went out and wept bitterly. And the last verse, two verses, come in 1 Peter. 1 Peter, written by Peter, inspired by the Holy Spirit. Written by Peter, 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19. Knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold, from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Father, as we take these few minutes, I just pray you guide and direct us. That would be your words. Thank you for your word. I thank you for a man like Peter. So faithful in his following, yet so human, yet all the stuff that goes with it all. I praise you and thank you and pray that we would be committed to walk with you in the fullness of who you are and what you have for us. So guide us this day as we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. It's a great story. Hard story. Here's Peter. And Peter goes in the Last Supper, and Jesus is instituting the Last Supper. He's going through it all. And then Jesus turns, in an Tissot paraphrase, Jesus turns and looks at his followers, and says, hey guys, before the night is over, you're going to turn tail and run. Wow. Peter. I love Peter. He drives me nuts sometimes with his personality. Anybody got the Peter personality? Peter, and everybody's going, I'm not raising my hand. He's talking about denying him. I'm not going to. Peter is this. Does that make sense to you? And Peter is this. Ha-hoo! You know, and so Peter, Jesus is washing the disciples' feet, right? And what does Peter say? Not my feet. I have to wash my feet. And Jesus looks at Peter and says, Peter, if you want to be part of this, if you want to be part of this great move, you want to be part of following me, you need to allow me to wash your feet. And what does Peter say? Wash the whole thing! And Jesus says, no, Peter, just your feet, buddy, just your feet. It's okay. And Peter goes this and this and this. And Jesus turns and looks. And Jesus goes, guys, before the night's over with, you're going to turn tail and run. And Peter gets up. And now I'm going to put it into my visual thing. And the Bible doesn't say exactly the way it happened or whatever. We know that Peter's emotions, all this. And Peter gets up and Peter looks and Peter says, not me. Not me, Jesus. You and me, buddy. We're in this together. All the way. You and me. Jesus, you know what? The other guys over there, a little flaky. But me, uh-uh. You and me, to the bitter end. And Jesus looks and says, Peter, before it's over with, three times, you're going to look and say, don't know the guy. And Peter looks and Peter says again to him, to the death, Jesus. I will go with you to the death. It is my prayer of my life that I accepted Christ early in my life. I tell people I am nauseatingly nice. I've been a rule follower for the most part. To God be the glory. Am I better than anybody else? Uh-uh. Some people look and say, yeah, but you accepted Christ here and you this and you're director of a Bible camp and you this and ran a fellowship of Christian athletes and school system. And I turn and I look and I say, I'm Peter. Determined, desirous of following after Almighty God, of walking with Jesus Christ in a way that will change lives forever and ever and ever. And on that day when my strength is failing, when my time draws near and the end has come, still my soul will sing his praise unending 10,000 years and then forevermore. But I need to be careful, because what's the first step that starts to bring Peter down? That starts to bring Peter to this point of denial. And the first one I would suggest to you is there's an air of overconfidence. There's an air of pride. I will never do that. And for those of us who are followers of Jesus Christ today, we need to do a real check on ourselves. Is there anything in me that has this air of overconfidence? This air of pride? Like, I am a follower of Jesus. And as soon as we make the statement, I am, we begin to get in the way of Jesus, who says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And the challenge in my life as I've walked with the Lord, because when you run a place like Bear Lake Bible Camp for 28 years, there are young people that made unbelievable decisions there. And today at 30, 35 years old, they've cursed God. founders of Bear Lake Bible Camp, took Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way that they should go, and when they're old, they will not depart from it. And I pray, Lord, if there's anything I can do to see some of those people that made unbelievable decisions and today have turned their back on you. Could I be anything? Because as soon as they start making decisions, ooh, how many people accepted Christ at camp, and how many this, and how many this? And it's great, we love to hear those things. But we need to be careful, because we begin to get to the point where it's I. Too much I. And I want to challenge you in this week that would all be Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. There's just something about that name. And that we become less of us. The next thing as I looked through, and I said, you know, what else was it? What else was it that trapped him? And as I went through, and I said, be careful of the emotional highs. Now, I come from a very, very traditional Christian upbringing. In some ways, I was boring. The only time you raised your hand is if you had to go to the bathroom. You know, that you and some of you are going like, that's the way it should be. And because the caution I give you today is that sometimes Peter could get caught up in the emotion of it all. It's like, never, Lord, I'll always be there for you. Wash all of me. One of the words, one of the prayers of my life is the word consistency. You know what? In all my years of walking with the Lord and being a counselor and working with young people and families and all those things, it's amazing to me how many times the rules change when it affects our family. We're tough on things when it's out there. And when it comes close to us, all of a sudden we change. And my challenge is that there's a consistency in my walk. But as soon as you say that, you go, and for those of you who are real quiet and just don't, you say, I don't do all that other, I don't go, whoo, and all those kind of things. I went and I challenge you to say, maybe we ought to once in a while. Doesn't it excite you that Jesus Christ died on the cross, that was taken off of the cross and was put in a tomb, and the tomb was empty? He rose from the dead. Up from the grave he arose. You know, and it's like, up from the grave he arose. And sometimes when I listened to the choirs they sang, and almost at one point there, I was ready to go like, yeah! And I thought, no, they'll kick me out. I'll be in trouble. I want to caution us, because I'm given the caution with Peter. I think there's, be careful of the emotionalism that runs into everything. And if you're over there going, that's right, I really like that point, then my challenge to you is, do you need to put a little emotion in it? Jesus did weep. It was an emotional moment. And when I think of what Jesus Christ did on the cross, there ought to be a little bit inside me that just goes like, woohoo! I am blessed! I went and watched the Air Force Academy homecoming football game several years ago when I was on a committee with Christian Camping. And I went, and we went to the homecoming game. It was a real close game, like 19-12, or no, it was 9-point difference, 10-point difference. With about 3 minutes to go, San Diego State scored a touchdown, made it within 3 points. After they kicked off, they shut down Air Force Academy, and Air Force Academy had to punt. Terrible punt, about 25 yards. For those of you who know football, you'll go like, that's bad. The guy caught it. They ran about 2 plays, and with the time running out on the clock, they kicked a 42-yard field goal that tied the game. College, the game goes into overtime. You go from the 25-yard line in, each team gets a shot at it. For those of you who don't like football, bear with me. It's a wonderful illustration. They come in and they get in, and San Diego State gets the ball first. They get a first down on the 12-yard line. They come in, the quarterback's looking, he's in the shotgun formation, he's looking out, and the cornerback, the defensive guy over on this end, far end over there, starts sneaking in. He's going to blitz the quarterback. In other words, he's going to try to get to the quarterback real fast. The guy sees it, the quarterback sees it, he changed the play. Quarterback takes a snap, the guy's coming at full speed at him. He turns and looks because there's the pass receiver that he was supposed to be covering. He's empty now. This guy had to rotate over and get there. He wasn't going to be able to do the time. Touchdown, okay, the whole thing. The guy is halfway. He's between no man's land. Too far to get to the quarterback before the quarterback throws the pass. Too far away to turn around and run back to the guy. Quarterback takes. He throws the pass. The guy, the defensive guy halfway between, he stops. He jumps up in the air as high as he can. His hand barely tips the ball. The ball goes straight up in the air. The ball comes down in his arms. He turns and runs 85 yards the other way for a touchdown. Air Force Academy wins their homecoming game. There's one football fan. See? Air Force Academy wins the football game. Do you know what happened when that victory happened? The players are running, sprinting down to the far end zone. The first-year military students at the Air Force Academy, whenever they score touchdowns, they got to get down and do push-ups. There's all these dudes in uniforms going, and people are running, and they get down there, and the players, and there's this humongous pile of bodies celebrating homecoming football victory. Awesome. I am not advocating, especially, although when Pastor Thad gets back, it'd be really cool if you guys, a human body, a pile of bodies back there celebrating Jesus. No, don't do that. No. But you know what? It was amazing to me to watch those guys celebrate. I am not advocating that we do that as Christians, but I am advocating for those of us that say Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior, there ought to be something inside us that goes, yes, thank you, Lord. Be careful. Third one that I would give you. Third one, why does this happen? Why does denial happen? Third one I'd give you is that a loss of focus. Loss of focus. The focus becomes on us or on all the stuff there is to do. I listen to the announcements, and you got this theater thing that's going on. You got this 10,000 egg hunt. 10,000. 10,000 eggs and then four? Never mind. I look at all those things, and I know there's a basketball thing you guys work with, and you can get focused on to the events and the stuff and miss the focus on Jesus. Be careful. As Peter goes and Peter's now said, okay, Lord, never me. There's some very sad words, those were the words that came in Luke. Having arrested him, in verse 54, they led him and brought him into the high priest's house, but Peter followed at a distance. Remember Peter's words? My paraphrase. You and me, Jesus, to the bitter end. I'm with you. And all of a sudden we get to verse 54, and the pressure has started to mount, and the things have started to go in. And it says that what did Peter do? He followed at a distance. Questions for those of us who call Jesus Christ our Lord and Savior. How's your following? Are you following at a distance? Yeah, I go to church on Sunday. Pastor Thad's not here, but I'm here anyway. I'll make sure that he knows that I was here because that's brownie points. But you know what? Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Well, this week's a little different because it's Good Friday. I'm following at a distance. Can I challenge you? Follow closer. Because now Peter gets in, and Peter gets in the circumstances, and here are the people. And Peter gets in following at a distance. There's a fire. He goes to warm himself by the fire. And he ends up in a group of people that are antagonist, that are questioning, that are going after him. There's a lot that could be said for who do we hang with? Are we hanging with people who encourage us, who go after it with us, who challenge us to walk closer? He went by the fire to warm himself. It's probably a little cool. Ready for this? This is atticism. Atticism is something that I take credit for saying because I'm sure somebody else said it, but I can't find who, so I take credit for it. Atticism, there's always a good reason to be in the wrong place. Make sense? You're looking at a man who has spent his adult life working with young people. I could write a book on excuses. I've often said to kids, I'm going to write a book. It's called The Religion of Excusiology. An excuse for everything. There's always a good reason to be in the wrong place. Be careful. Peter's there, and a young woman looks at him. And the young woman looks, and she goes, "You! You were with him." Peter looks, and all these people staring, all of this stuff. And Peter looks. Peter says, "Sorry, you got the wrong guy. I don't know him." A little bit later, a second time, somebody comes. "You! You were with him." I believe that Peter, and if you read all the accounts, I believe that Peter becomes a little more animated now. His first nice quiet looks, "Hey, shh, shh, shh. Just don't tell anybody. I don't know the guy. Shh." Second time he gets confronted, and the Bible says he starts to use oaths and curses. Not that he's cussing anybody out, but what he's doing is he's calling on higher power, saying, "By the power of Almighty God." Second time, you're with him. Peter looks and says, "I don't know him." You think, hey, Peter, you're 0 for 2, buddy. You've already been warned that it's going to happen 3 times. It's time to fall on your knees, repent. And then somebody else comes and says, look, you're Galilean. You are one of his followers. And the third time in the Bible, if you read all the accounts, the Bible says with oaths and cursings, he looks, I think, with his emotions. I think the third time Peter looked, and Peter now is like all these people are looking, and Peter goes, "I don't know him." And did you hear the last verse I read to you in Luke? Who was standing there? Who was standing there at his third denial? And the Lord turned and looked at Peter. Then Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said to him, "Before the rooster crows, you will deny me 3 times." So Peter went out and wept bitterly. Do you guys get the picture? Peter looks. Jesus has told him, "You and me, Jesus, we're in this to the end." Jesus is walking by in the trial process. And Jesus hears out of the mouth of Peter. Did he hear, "You and me, Jesus, we're in this to the end"? He heard out of the mouth of Peter, "I don't know him." And Peter turns and looks. And Peter sees Jesus' eyes meet his eyes. Is there any wonder that Peter went out and wept bitterly? And I think that as Peter went out there and wept bitterly, and then Peter watched Jesus hang on the cross and die, I think in Peter's mind, Peter was going, the last words that my Savior heard from me were, I don't know him. And I think the devastation that came to Peter, because I believe that Peter was one of his closest, strongest followers. And in all the pressure and all the stuff, he lost it. And he goes out and he weeps bitterly. The first sign that somebody is seeking forgiveness, that somebody has been broken. Have we been broken before Almighty God? Everybody, there is a God who heals, forgives, and restores. God is more concerned about where we are going than where we have been. I often say to people, any stories in the Bible that you wish you could have been there when the next chapter happened? Would you not have liked to have been there when Jesus and Peter met face to face after Jesus rose from the dead? Bible talks, 1 Corinthians 15:5, it talks about there was a meeting, Jesus and Peter. Doesn't tell us what it was like. I tend to think Peter was on his face. I'm so sorry. I want to be your follower. And that's why I finished the last section I read was 1 Peter 1:18 and 19. Catch this. The word blood is mentioned countless times, over 500 times I think throughout the Bible. One time in the Bible, it is called precious blood. Guess who wrote that? The Holy Spirit inspired it. Peter. And I can almost see Peter when precious blood, putting those two together, the blood of Jesus Christ, and Peter saying, it is so precious because it washed away my sins. We know the history from church history. Church tradition says, how did Peter's life end? Crucified upside down. Because he was not worthy to die the way that his Savior died. And I look at that, and as you go through and you see it all, and Peter, you and me, Jesus, to the death. Peter's encounter with the risen, glorified Jesus Christ changed him from what he was there to what he went on to serve. Was he still human? Did he still mess up along the way? All those things? Yes. But Peter says, Jesus is my Savior. Jesus heals, he forgives, and he restores. If there's anybody here today who's never asked Jesus Christ to be your Savior, it's a simple process. Recognize that you're a sinner. Recognize you can't do it on your own. Recognize that Jesus Christ came and he's the one who paid the price, dying on the cross and raising from the dead. Life is found in him. So for you, it's a matter of, Father, I acknowledge I'm a sinner. Forgive my sins. I acknowledge Jesus Christ as having paid the price for my sins. Come into my life. For those of us who have prayed that prayer, there's God who heals, forgives, and restores. We need to examine ourselves, and we need to come to the place and say, Lord, it's about you. And our lives are different. Started off, palm branches were there, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. By Friday, they were saying, crucify him, crucify him. Will we be the people who will stand up and say, King of Kings, Lord of Lords? I'm going to pray right now, and then they're going to come up and close the song. And as I'm praying, if there's anybody who has never accepted Christ and you'd like to do that, just please pray as I go through. And you've got to pray a simple prayer of salvation. If you pray that prayer, I would encourage you to share that with somebody, please. So I'm going to close here, and then we're going to come up and sing together. Again, thank you very much. It is good to be here this week. It is an awesome week. Up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph for his foes. Thank you, Father, for this chance. If there's anyone here who needs to accept you as Lord and Savior, they would pray a very simple prayer. Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. I acknowledge that Jesus Christ came to pay the price for my sin. I ask him to forgive my sin and come into my life, that I might enjoy new life in Jesus Christ. And Father, for the rest of us, that we would follow you, we'd seek you, we'd go after it for your honor and glory. As we would celebrate this week in the fullness of our Savior's alive, he is risen. So guide and direct, Lord, so we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's stand together as we sing Amazing Love.
Forgiven because you were forsaken. I'm accepted. You were condemned. I'm alive and well. Your spirit is within me because you died and rose again. I'm forgiven. Because you were forsaken, I'm accepted. You were condemned. I'm alive and well. Your spirit is within me because you died and rose again. Amazing love, how can it be that you, my King, would die for me? Amazing love, I know it's true. It's my joy to honor you in all I do. I honor you. I'm forgiven. Because you were forsaken, I'm accepted. You were condemned. I'm alive and well. Your spirit is within me because you died and rose again. Amazing love, how can it be my King would die for me? Amazing love, I know it's true. It's my joy to honor you in all I do. Jesus, you are my King. Jesus, you are my King. Amazing love, how can it be that you, my King, would die for me? Amazing love, I know it's true. It's my joy to honor you in all I do. I honor you in all I do. I honor you.
Well, thank Bob for being here today and bringing the message. Just a reminder, we've got drama practice right after church, or at 1 o'clock, I believe. Is that correct? 1 o'clock. So go grab lunch and be back here at 1 o'clock for practice. And otherwise, if you're not involved, have a wonderful week. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day, Lord. Father, we thank you for this opportunity to be in your house. And Lord, we just pray that we would take the message that's been given to us this morning and apply it to our lives. And we'll leave here today and go out and serve you and come back and be ready to worship you again next week. And we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.